You pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, that we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our scripture reading from this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now when he came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So it's been an interesting week and a half for me as I re-entered the world in Wallingford after a couple of weeks in Alaska visiting. Cindy and I visited our son and his family. He's stationed there with the Coast Guard. Came back and, you know, those of you who are still, you leave for 2 weeks and you come back to 4 weeks worth of work. I'm not sure how that works, but it seems that that's always the case. So as we used to say in the Navy, you kind of hit the deck running and you plow through. But in the midst of all of that, there have been some people entering our lives and people leaving. Our grandson was with us. We brought him to Alaska with us and on a plane, and a dear friend came to recuperate from surgery and has been with us. Things at church, people coming in, someone who was in need, physical need, a stranger to our midst, pulled into the parking lot thinking to herself, "This is a church, I'll find someone who can help me." She had a service dog. She was having sure she let her service dog out that went out and found someone, and Cindy and Taylor and Kate took care of her. People have come into my life. I got a phone call from someone whose wedding I officiated at and counseled with them, premarital counseling after 20 years of marriage, and said, "We've sort of run into a hiccup and we're calling you to see if we remember you saying something in the midst of the counseling. We thought we'd reach out to see if you could help us." And that started me thinking about our stories and the places that God is alive and present in our lives, the people that come in and out of our lives, that sometimes we say, "You know, I'm not sure that I'm ready to say that that God, you know, is so minutely involved in our lives that he'll make a ticket go away," for instance. But I do think that if we pay attention, we find that the presence of God is much more there and intense than we often realize or are willing to admit. So I wanted to talk about our stories, and of course, one of my favorites, I'm not going to surprise most of you, is Frederick Buechner, and he wrote a series of autobiographies, actually his life, really in three small books. The third in the series is called Telling Secrets, and this is what he writes. Who cares? What in the world could be less important than who I am and who my father and mother were, the mistakes I've made together with the occasional discoveries, the bad times and good times, the moments of grace? If I were a public figure and my story had had some impact on the world at large, that might be some justification for telling it. But my life has had very little impact on anybody much, except for the people closest to me and the comparative few who have read books I've written and been one way or another touched by them. But I talk about my life anyway because if on the one hand, hardly anything could be less important, on the other hand, hardly anything could be more important. My story is important not because it is mine, God knows, but because if I tell it anything like it right, the chances are you will recognize that in many ways it is also. Now, we know that the Bible is full of people's stories, old people and middle-aged people, young people, youth and children. Some are men, others women, some are brave, others are cowards, some bright, some not so much. Some wise, others foolish, some revengeful, some forgiving. Some have names, familiar names, others have names that we forget, no name at all. Each has a story to tell, the story of their life, or at least a moment in that life. And Scripture invites us into a momentary glimpse or asks us to walk with them for years. The Bible is full of people's stories, people who, for the most part, could have said the very same thing that Frederick Buechner wrote. Who cares? What could be less important than who I am? Or the book of Ecclesiastes so aptly put it, all, after all, is vanity. If I had to guess what was going on in Peter's mind at the time of his great confession, his epiphany of the essence, the spirit, the presence, the person of Jesus, I would guess that what was not going through Peter's mind was how important his own life story was or was going to be. Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replies, according to Scripture, without hesitation, "You are the Christ." It was apparently that simple and that clear to Peter. He called it like he saw it, or perhaps experienced Jesus. And then Jesus, perhaps pleasantly surprised by Peter's understanding, tells him, "I tell you, you are Peter," and there's a play on word here because Peter in Greek is Petros, and on this rock in Greek, Petra. So I tell you, Petros, and on this Petra, I will build my church. In Hebrew, word equals. Think about that. Word, the word for word is the same word as the word for deed. So to say something is also to do something. You might remember that in the book of Genesis, when God spoke, it became so. So God said light, and there was light. Jesus says, "Peter, you are the rock upon which I will build my church." He was also making Peter that rock. Buechner writes of Peter's story in another book called Peculiar Treasures. Everybody knows he started out as a fisherman. He lived with his wife in Capernaum, where he shared a house with his mother-in-law and his brother Andrew. He and Andrew had their own boat, and were in the business with a couple of partners, James and John, Zebedee's sons. The first time Jesus laid eyes on him, he took one good look and said, "So you're Simon, the son of John." and then said that from then on, he'd call him Cephas, which is Aramaic for Peter, which is Greek for rock. A rock isn't the prettiest thing in creation, or the fanciest, or the smartest. And if it gets rolling in the wrong direction, watch out. There's no nonsense about a rock. And once it settles down, it's pretty much there to stay. There's not a lot you can do to change a rock or crack it or get under its skin. And barring earthquakes, you can depend on it about as much as you can depend on anything. So Jesus called him the rock, and it stuck with him the rest of his life. Now, if you're familiar with the Jesus, then you're also familiar with Peter's story. Sometimes he got it right, and just as often, he didn't. He had no sooner received Jesus' personal beatitude, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," after recognizing Jesus as the Christ, that he was chastised for trying to get in Jesus' way by wanting to protect him from the cross. Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not on the side of God, but of men." And so it was throughout Peter's life, a real roller coaster ride with lots of ups and downs, courage and betrayal, moments of understanding, and others of outright stupidity. I bet there were times when Peter said, "Who cares? What in the world could be less important than who I am? The mistakes I've together with the occasional discoveries, the bad times and the good times, the moments of grace." And yet, when Jesus spoke those words to him, it became so. I hope that you did notice that Jesus said, "I tell you, you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church," as an unconditional statement. There's no "if" here with Jesus. Jesus didn't say, "If you are smart and you understand everything I teach, and if you stay by my side and until the end, and if you don't doubt, then you will be Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And friends, the same is true for all of us as sisters and brothers in Christ, as children of God. You are good enough to receive grace. We are good enough to be loved by God, to be a friend, a loved one of Jesus. Just as Jesus journeyed from town to town, from place to place, from healing to healing, from person to person, from house to house, so it is with our story, our faith story. Just as Jesus transformed people along the way, just as Peter was transformed through his journey with Jesus the Christ, so we are transformed by journeying with Jesus our Christ. Do you understand? Jesus spoke grace into our world, and there was grace, and there is grace. Jesus spoke good news into our world, and there was good news, and there is good news for the journey. Buechner concludes, "But I talk about my life anyway, because if on the one hand hardly anything could be less important, on the other hand hardly anything could be more important. My story is important not because it is mine, but because if I tell it anything like right, the chances are you will recognize that in many ways it is also yours." Maybe nothing is more important than that we keep track, you and I, of these stories of who we are and where we have come from and the people we have met along the way, because it is precisely through these stories in all their particularity, as I have long believed, that God makes himself known to each of us most powerfully and personally. If this is true, it means that to lose track of our stories is to be profoundly impoverished, not only of our humanity, but our spirituality. As followers of Jesus Christ, The journey of faith is our story. Our stories, our journeys are the stuff of which are made and of which we are made and into which we are transformed by God's grace. So maybe nothing is more important than that we keep track, you and I, of these stories of who we are and where we come from and the people that have come in and out of our lives. Because it is in those stories and in those moments that we not only are reminded of the grace that we've received, but it is the way that we share God's story, God's grace, God's love, and God's good news. Amen.